Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. In verse 9, the Word of God says, "Being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Being justified by His blood, we'll be saved from wrath through Him. I'm going to go on a very brief tangent before I get into the message. For some reason, there is a crowd that thinks they're going to go through the tribulation or a part of it. Either the mid-trib rapture or the post-trib rapture. Those precious believers don't understand the blood of Christ. Those precious believers do not understand the body of Christ. Those precious believers do not understand the wrath of God. Those precious believers do not understand justification. Some people think that the church will somehow be purified in the tribulation. The church is purified in two ways. They're cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word, and they're cleansed by the blood. Nothing about tribulation is intended for the body of Christ. The tribulation period is there because Israel first and then the remainder of the world has rejected the Savior. The body of Christ is the body of the Savior. They did not reject the Savior. They are not going to go through the tribulation because they did not reject the Savior. God has no need to purify Himself. We are the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Why in the world would the body of God go through the tribulation period? What does God have against His own body? The body of Christ did not reject Christ. It's His body. My arm doesn't reject me. My arm may have pain. My arm sometimes may have numbness. Sometimes it doesn't want to move, especially when I lay on it the wrong way and I wake up in the morning and I can't move it. You've had that experience, I'm sure. It hasn't rejected me. I just have to make an adjustment and 2 minutes later I'm fine. Why in the world these people would say that the body of Christ is going to go through the tribulation? It's not going to go through the tribulation. The tribulation is not for us. We have not been appointed unto that type of wrath. The Word of God says that wrath there in that portion is the word orge, and it's anger exhibited in punishment. Yet in Revelation 6:17, the Word of God says that the great day of wrath, which is the tribulation period, the 7-year period of the tribulation, that great day of wrath is also orge, anger exhibited in punishment. Why in the world would God punish those who are right with Him? It makes absolutely no sense. Versus believers that I love and knew and they used to be right with us have for some reason gone off the deep end on this one. Somebody confused them with poor hermeneutics and got them to think that for some weird reason the church has to go through at least half the tribulation. Why? Think about it. Why would God do that to His own body? I don't know. When somebody starts cutting themselves, they usually need psychological help. You think God needs psychological help? Is that what you're telling me? If you're telling me that, I think you're the one who needs psychological help. Remember, you're guilty of what you accuse of. God is not going to send the believers through the great tribulation. The believers were the ones who accepted Him. The tribulation is for those who rejected Him. He's not sending the church through the tribulation. And they say, well, you've been appointed unto wrath. That wrath is pressure. You've been appointed unto tribulations. They point at tribulations there means pressures, problems, daily details. Just like the world, you've been appointed to daily details and pressures. Because in those daily details and pressures, you learn humility. That does not mean you are appointed unto the great day of wrath. As a matter of fact, during the great day of wrath, the church, those who are born-again believers, they're going to be up in heaven having the marriage supper of the Lamb. So unless you intend to miss dinner, you're going to be up there. And so you don't have to worry about that. God said that those with the wedding garment are going to be welcomed to the wedding. And those without the wedding garment will be cast out. Well, the wedding supper is for those who have the new garment. Revelation chapter 3 talks about that. I will give you a new garment. And so, we don't have to worry about the tribulation. We are born again believers. We are the body of Christ. We are those who receive the mercy of God, never to be appointed unto the wrath of God. And it's silly to think anything other than that, because the Bible doesn't say it. You have to really play games with hermeneutics in order to come out with things like the church is going through the tribulation or half the tribulation or what have you. You really got to blow the hermeneutics if you're going to do that. That being said, so I wanted to deal with the B part before I deal with the message. A part is where the message is. Being now justified by His blood. Being now justified by His blood. Did you know that the blood of Christ makes you justified before God? When's the last time you got condemned about something? When's the last time, after you got right with God, whatever it might be, great or small, that you still felt that lingering guilt? Did you realize, in fact, that you are justified by the blood of Christ, and that guilt was entirely unnecessary? It wasn't productive. It didn't add anything to you. And it didn't do anything before God. You're justified by the blood of Christ. That word justified is the word dikaioo. It's an aorist passive participle. What's important here is that it's the aorist and that it's the passive. Passive means that the subject receives the action of the verb. That means that you didn't do the justifying. You did not justify yourself. I wish I could get people to understand that they do not need to justify themselves. There is absolutely nothing you can do to become just before God. Nothing. Don't try. Give it up. You have no options there. Justification before God is something that is done for you by the blood of Christ. It's an eternal issue, it's not a temporal issue. We try to do things temporally in hopes that it will affect our eternity. That which is temporal is going to pass away. You don't piddle with what's going to pass away in hopes of affecting that which cannot pass away, which will not pass away, which is eternal. You let the eternal alter the temporal cannot alter the eternal. You've been justified by the blood. Aorist tense. Aorist is a timeless reality. That means your justification is not an issue of time experience. Your justification is an issue of positional truth. Positional truth is reality as it exists, not necessarily reality as you experience it. If, for example, you happen to be a millionaire, but nobody ever tells you that you have millions of dollars, you might live like a person that has no money. You see, it's kind of like that for us. In position, that person has millions. In experience, they have very little. And only when they realize their position can they start to benefit from that position. Only when I realize the justification that I have by the blood of Christ will I start to benefit from that justification. We are justified by the blood. Now there's two things that work on our behalf, the cross and the blood. the cross brings me, allows me to be in the timeline of God. In Galatians 2:20. The blood allows me to remain there. This is how it works. Ephesians 2:15 says that we're one with Christ. In verse 16, it happened at the cross. Galatians 2:20 says that we're crucified with Him. Nevertheless, we live, but it's not us that live. It's Christ that lives in us. Our life is Christ. If you look at us, you're looking at Christ. Our life is Christ. You may be looking at a flawed facade, a flawed surface, but the substance is Christ. Because of the cross, we became one with Him. Because of the blood, we stare. It's the blood of Christ that gives us the perfection of God. This is what I'm talking about. I'm never going to be perfect in my actions. It's not what I mean. What I'm talking about is when Jesus said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." We're told to be holy as God is holy. That is not a possibility for a human being. I have sin in my DNA in Romans chapter 7. It is absolutely impossible when sin is integrated in the information that makes me physically, the blueprint for my design, has sin in it. How in the world am I going to be holy? The answer is, I'm not. The key to that portion is, as God is holy. It's not my holiness, it's His holiness. The blood of Christ allows me to enter into that because the blood of Christ eradicates whatever sin I had out of time. In Psalm 103:12. And so, because there is no sin that can be pointed to in time, God no longer remembers sin in Hebrews 8:12, because what is there to remember? If something is removed from yesterday, I can't say, "Oh, I remember." God would call that a false memory. We've got to stop lying when it comes to eternal viewpoint. People think it's a testimony. It's not a testimony. It's a denial. You get somebody, and they're well-meaning people, but you know, the motives really don't make a difference. You get somebody who's a well-meaning person, they're sincere. These are all things of the natural disposition, good motives, sincerity, all that stuff. That's all natural disposition. You get one of these persons and they say, "I was 20 years old and I was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and then I found Jesus and He cleaned up my life and now here I am." Okay, you are the refurbished creature of what? Passage is that? "Behold, all things are made refurbished, sent back to the factory, cleaned up, and sent right back out again as though they were brand new." Not really brand new, they've been used, but heck, they are refurbished just like they're in new condition. And that's what believers think it means to be a new creature. My goodness, if you tried that in the business world, you could get sued. Can you imagine Amazon or Best Buy or one of these electronics companies? They come out with a refurbished computer, said, "Brand spanking new, dull, HP, whatever, computer," and it's refurbished. And the person finds out, "Oh, this is an old whatever computer. I bought this as though it was new. They lied to me." What do you think is going to happen? Yet believers think God does the kind of thing that a company would get a lawsuit against them for. You get people going to jail for fraud. My goodness, the blood removes your sin. And at the cross, you become a new species of creature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Ephesians 2:15 and 16, God says all things are passed away. all, each and every thing is passed away. That means that the old person is dead and gone, and now there's a new person, except there's a still funny thing in your DNA called the sin nature. And some people would surely say, well, then obviously we're not completely new. We must only be new in quality because we still have an old sin nature. You don't know anything about DNA and genetics, do you? It's not that the hardware has a sin nature in it. It's that the software, the epigenome, has been rewritten by the Word of God. When the epigenome is altered by the Word of God, the expression of our DNA alters. The epigenome is malleable and everybody has it and they pass it on to their children. It's malleable. It's altered. So the fact that there is DNA with a sin nature in it can still be tempered by the epigenome and the fact that the Word has altered it. It now functions differently. And seeing as how more than 1 billion cells are replaced per second, you're pretty much brand new within a fairly short period of time once the Word of God takes over. You're justified. Think about it. You're justified. You're declared righteous. It wasn't you that declared you. It was God who declared you. And He did it through the blood. The Word of God says in Romans 3:28, a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We are brought up with a mindset. Be good, do good. You want to be acceptable? Behave a certain way. That's not God's mindset. You want to be rewarded? You want to be used? Be a certain way. God doesn't think like that. God is not looking for my performance. God is looking for my availability. The performance is His issue, not mine. If God was looking for my performance, David would never have been king. If God was looking for performance, Abraham would just be a guy who died some time ago in history. God was looking for performance, we would be saying, Moses who? Peter would just be another fisherman. James and John, who are they? God was looking for performance, the giants of the faith would not even ever have been heard of. By the way, if God was looking for performance, there would be no such thing as faith. You're justified through faith by the blood. It's not in the law. It's not in your effort. It's in faith toward the blood. I wish I could get people to understand that, to allow that to permeate their thinking. The sooner you allow that to permeate your thinking, the godlier you'll be. You see, we think backwards. We think it's in our natural effort. You know what our natural effort takes us to? Our natural effort takes us to the tree of knowledge, good and evil, usually at the good side. And if we're managing to stay at the good side of Satan's tree, in Ezekiel 31:18, then we think we're doing pretty good because we're at the good side of Satan's tree. And of course, if we're not doing so good and we end up at the evil side of Satan's tree, we think, well, I really blew it. I got to get back over to the good side of tree. I got to do better. Good luck with that. Go ahead, knock yourself out of the good side of Satan's tree. It's still the same death. God's not interested in Satan's tree. God is interested in you trusting Him in all things, in all ways, at all times. It's not hard. It just takes a little bit of simplicity. People don't want to be simple. People want to be sophisticated. God's not interested in those who are sophisticated. God's interested in those who are simple. That's why He sends the simple things to confound the wise. It's like, I want to be sophisticated in my thinking and my faith. What you're telling me is you want God to confound you. I want God to really confound me and confuse the daylights out of me so I don't know which way's up. And then I'll feel intelligent. It's not the way we're made. We're not made to be complex. We're made to be simple. Complexity is an issue of the flesh. Simplicity is an issue of simply trusting. The Word of God says in Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Unto the pure all things are pure. The work of the blood in position is in time. In other words, in Revelation 1:5, the blood cleanses me from all sin, but it cleanses me from all sin in Psalm 103:12 in that it removes the sin from time. Are you getting that? That's in position. That's what God sees. So when God sees you, there's nothing there that would be apart from faith. In our experience, however, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In Psalm 23:7. In my experience, it's about my perceptions. This is why we are justified by faith. Because faith gives us the justifying perceptions. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. God is not worried about the activity. The activity was removed from time. God is concerned about the perceptions that He needs to deal with in us. And so, we learn of the blood through the Word of God, knowing that the blood cleanses everything from us, it cleanses everyone. It doesn't require anything but the blood itself. And when the blood does its cleansing, and I believe it, then I get an effect. But I have to mix faith. The Word of God says in Hebrews 4 and verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, and this is of course talking about the people who perished in the wilderness, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, and then it continues, as the works were finished from the foundation of the world. My believing in the finished work, the blood is an essential component, is what allows me to experience my justification. We use big words like justification. Sometimes I'm frustrated by those words because we lose them in the number of syllables. It's simple. God says to you, you're fine. Because of the blood, you're fine. You think you're fine? Most of us would say, no, I don't think I'm entirely fine. God says, it's the blood. You're fine. Don't worry about it. You're fine. But God, this, that, and the other thing, God says, you're fine. The blood took care of it. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. I'm not saying live in it. Living in it is its own misery. You're fine. The blood did it. But God, I blew it. You're fine. The blood took care of it. But God, you know what happened? It doesn't matter. The blood eradicated whatever it was. You're fine. That's what it means to be justified. God says, you're fine. Have you ever had a physical condition and maybe you were nervous about it? People experience this. Sometimes they get like aches and pains and maybe they think it's their heart or cancer or something and it gets a little bit scary because maybe it's really difficult to deal with. And they go to the doctor with some trepidation, but they know they have to because they know they need to get it taken care of if it's there, but they don't know if it's there. And they're really nervous about what the doctor's going to say to them when they get the results of the tests, and they hold their breath and they just say, oh, I can just hear him. I hope he doesn't say it's cancer. And the doctor gets on the phone with you and the doctor says, you're fine. You're fine. Eat this, you'll be fine. And the relief that comes, it's like that with God. God says, you're fine. Draw near to the Word of God. But you're fine. You don't have to worry. Am I going to lose at the Bema Seat, God? No, you're fine. Don't worry. But God, I haven't done things right. I have doubted. I've sinned. I've made mistakes. You said redeem time. I didn't redeem time. You said walk in faith. I didn't walk in faith. Am I going to lose out, God? God says, you're fine. Don't sweat it. You're fine. You know why you're fine? Because you're His workmanship. What allows you to be His workmanship is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ makes you fine. And so God says, it doesn't much matter just so long as you appropriate the blood. You're human, you're going to fall on your face. That's what you humans do. But don't worry about it. I made you that way. You're fine. I wish I could get people to realize that. A lot of people don't like this type of a message. They want a whole lot of energy of the flesh being expended and a lot of effort and a lot of struggle and all this stuff. And they say, oh, that's a cheap believism. My goodness, you think the blood of Christ is cheap, do you? Well, the fact of the matter is that this is the way God designed it. He made you one with Him at the cross and He justified you by His blood. And the reason why you're justified is because the blood has eradicated everything that's not right. It's like the ultimate chemotherapy. It just removes everything that's not right. And you remain. What you want in your life is a faith response. Faith response works like this. Say that you have a life of 90 years. The part that gets removed is whatsoever is not of faith in Romans 14:23, because that's sin. Sin is removed by the blood in Revelation 1:5, out of space-time in Psalm 103:12. Space-time incorporates all time. God sees all of space-time in front of Him like it's a table. We've talked about this before. It's all right there in front of Him. You can't see it because you're on the table. He can see it because He's not on the table. He's bigger than the table. You're that little ant crawling across the table. You can't see the end. But He knows the end from the beginning. Get His mind and you get His viewpoint. And so it's all on the table. And God takes the blood and He removes from the table whatever stain sin caused. It's like the ultimate tide stick. And there's a stain of sin on the table and God removes it. And it's gone. Now, the table is time. The table is not place. The table is time. And because it's time, you cannot say it's been on the table. You cannot say, well, it was yesterday. No, God removed it from yesterday. You can't say it was yesterday. It's gone from yesterday. It's not there. You got 90 years like this. 90-year portion of the table is yours. What remains? In those 90 years, how long was your life? And a person may want to say, well, 90 years. But that's not what God sees. What God sees when He considers how long your life is that which is of faith, that which is of redemption, and that which is of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's your gold, silver, and precious stones. That's what remains. The blood eradicates what serves sin. Those things that were not of faith in my life, those disappear from the table. What we want to do is we want to be people who live for 90 years and God looks and says, wow, you live for 70 years. You can have a 15-year-old and God says, you've lived for 10 years. You can have a 90-year-old, God says, you've lived for 10 months. We want to be those who use our opportunities to have our lives remain. And that's what we are rewarded on. But here's the thing. Because of the blood, you have a place with God. You have a place with Him. And even though you may lose your opportunities, you're still fine. The thing about it is that time can be redeemed. And you lost that time and you said, well, how in the world am I going to redeem it? How long was Moses in the wilderness? He got saved at age 40. He was in the wilderness for another 40 years. And then he was Moses for 40 years after that. So you could say Moses blew 2/3 of his life. But that's not redemptive thinking. In that 40 years, Moses was learning some serious administrative skills as the grandson of Pharaoh. The next 40 years, Moses was developing tremendous humility. And the next 40 years, Moses was finally ready. I've never met someone, perhaps Colonel, you could correct me, but I've never met someone, fresh recruit in the army, first day of basic training, and they've got it all down.
Not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen. Why do Christians think it's gonna happen for them with God? As though there is no development necessary? Even the worldly military people, even the unsaved military people, no, you've got to take away all the garbage and you've got to build something that's substantial in the individual in order for them to just be a good soldier. How much more does God have to do that for us to be the body of Christ that's effective? Do you think Jesus wasted 30 of his 33 and a half years? Or was he being prepared? Don't despise your preparation and think it's lost time. It's like the soldier thinks, well, I had to spend all this time in training, and when I finally got into combat, man, it was a long time. Or a doctor, a heart surgeon. I used to know heart surgeons when I worked in the hospital. A heart surgeon spends 12 years residency. Do you think that 12 years was wasted? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're the guy going under the knife, you think, I wonder if 12 years is enough. It's not wasted. God says you're fine. Even the stuff that you think was a blown opportunity was actually just a learning opportunity on how not to blow it when it's important. I blew this little thing only if you learned nothing. Only if you walked away with nothing. Well, that was a dreadful experience only if there was no hard work done. That was rough only if you didn't see my hand. That's how God works. Don't worry about the fact that you think you blew it. Your mistake wasn't the issue. It was pre-planned. God knew all about it before the world even existed. That's why He made you to glorify the blood of Christ. Because you're justified by that blood. And you're made of it in Genesis 2:7 in the original language. You're made of it. In Hebrews 9:4, the blood cleanses my conscience. It purges it. How does it purge my conscience? When I believe the blood, I stop worrying about the fault. Well, I messed up here, and I was responsible for this, this, that, and the other thing. And God's looking at you and says, I have no idea what you are talking about. And if the all-knowing God has no idea what you're talking about, you really may not be getting it right. Their fault, God. God says, what is? All that happened, God looks at times and says, nothing happened. Didn't you see what they did? God says, I have no idea. It's not there. And I can see it all. It's the blood. It leaves you justified. It leaves you right with God. It means you're fine. Relax. You're fine. You're free to grow. You're free to learn. You're free to get to know Him. You don't have to worry about the rest. You are absolutely fine. And once you get that into your conscience, because the blood is there to deal with it, you don't worry about it. That word conscience there in the original language literally means consciousness. You don't have to be conscious of these things anymore. You're fine. I'm not what I ought to be, God. I have all these responsibilities, and I wish I could be, but I'm not. And God says, you're exactly what I wanted you to be. And you say, how can that be, God? He says, you're my workmanship. It was my idea, not yours. You're fine. That's the blood. You're fine. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift, so simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your gift. I accept your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.